And the Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, right here on 99.5 KKLA, the intersection of faith and reason.
This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so happy to be with you today. You're listening to KKLA 99.5 on the intersection of faith and reason. We have two special guests today, and I can't wait to get to the conversation. It's a very special time. I was told that I should tell the listeners what my show is about. And the show is about, the purpose of the show is to bring hope when you feel hopeless, faith when you struggle to trust, and confidence in making life choices. We talk about identity, relationships, marriages, parenting, faith, second chances, and recovering from tragedies in life, seeking passion, purpose, trusting, feeling, caring, loving, believing, and living a life that makes a difference. Simply, we are asking all of you today to take a chance, change a person's life by sharing your life's experiences with them. And that's what we're going to do today. I have two special guests. I have Rhonda Diamond, who's a friend of mine from the dance world. And I also have my sister, Debbie Vale. And Debbie's not with us yet, but Rhonda is. And so I'm going to explain, well, give you Rhonda's bio, a little bit about Rhonda so you can get to know her. Just a little bit, though. She's a very special woman. Rhonda has been married 32 years to her husband, Paul, an inner city third grade teacher. Together, they have three grown children ranging in age from 21 to 28. By profession, Rhonda is an administrative assistant, but having stayed home for many years to raise her children, she mostly considers herself a full-time mom. Nowadays, Rhonda is a dance instructor and a competitor, teaching and competing in West Coast swing, country ballroom, waltz, cha-cha, two-step, and more. She holds three world championship titles with the United Country Western Dance Council, among numerous other awards in her competitive career over the last 15 years. She also was the assistant choreographer and dancer in the 2009 world premiere Hollywood musical, Saving Up for Saturday Night. Rhonda, are you on air?
I am. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I'm emotional. I can't believe it.
So am I. Before I started to cry here.
Well, Rhonda, I don't know really how long I've known you. I just know that we met in the dance world because we're both dancers. Mm-hmm. And we both came from the country kind of world. It's a wonderful place.
Yes, it is.
And getting to know you, we competed actually against each other at the U.S. Open last year.
That's right.
And it was a wonderful experience, and I got to know you at a different level at that time. You were having struggles, if I remember, about one little trick that you couldn't do, and it was nice that I could come over and just, you know, we could just have that special moment. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was really special to me, and I remember learning something about you that I didn't know before either.
And what was that?
That you are a very spiritual and lovely person.
Aw. Well, thank you. We both have this thing called the Facebook, don't we, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah.
And on Facebook, you know, we see each other on the dance world and everything, and we have that whole life going on. And I've always envied your relationship with your daughter. I just have to say that. Oh. I just love your little daughter, Rachel. She just, you know, you compete against each other, but you still have such a wonderful mother-daughter relationship. And I admire that. And I've told you that repeatedly, haven't I?
Yes, you have. And I feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Anyway, on Facebook, one day I'm looking at Facebook, and all of a sudden I see you up there, and there's this story and this shock that came over me.
Really?
Because you shared what you just found out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of how this all started as far as you being on my show.
Right.
And you wrote in your Facebook, just so articulate. You were so articulate in your emotions and your fears and the concerns of what was going on. So let's just talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
How did that feel when you went to the doctor and you got this news? I mean, wow.
Well, it was a shock. I don't know if you've told your listeners what it was.
Oh, my goodness, I haven't. So why don't you just share that?
Yes, allow me to. I was diagnosed in February with breast cancer, and it was DCIS, which is ductal carcinoma in situ, which means it is in place in the ducts, and it is the most curable kind of breast cancer. If you're going to get breast cancer, that's the kind to get. So I felt fortunate with that, but at the same time, me, cancer, the C word, it was just such a shock. I mean, I was healthy. I've always been so healthy. I've always been the kind of sprouts and brown rice kind of mom raising my kids. I breastfed them for well into toddlerhood, which I always heard there was much less chance of getting breast cancer if you nursed your babies for a long time. Well, that wasn't. I was with me, but so it was really a shock when I got the diagnosis, and I remember shaking as I was walking out of the diagnostic center, and taking a while to grasp it, to absorb what I was just told.
Right. It's a total shock, huh? And you're just like, wow, you're hit with this news, and it's just such a shock.
Yeah, it's like your whole life is completely different. You just become... You become a survivor from that moment that you're diagnosed. You become somebody who fights for their life and fights for quality of life, and the way that I have grown to care about other people going through the same thing is just learning things about myself that I never knew.
It's amazing how these trials and tribulations can just build on us. You know, we can just build that way. Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to KKLA 99.5, The Intersection of Faith and Reason. This is the Sue Freeze Show, and you're listening to Sue Freeze. With us, who just came on board, is my sister, Debbie. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
I'm emotional again. Wow.
Don't you be, sis.
Debbie Vail was born in 1950 in Kansas City, Missouri. She's one of three daughters. I happen to be another one of those daughters. Parents moved to Orange County when she was 2.5 because she had severe asthma, and doctors advised to move to a drier climate. She married at 19 in Japan. Her husband, high school sweetheart, was wounded in Vietnam and came to Japan as a patient. They traveled to many parts of the world. And during their seven years of marriage, she went to college and married for a second time at age 30, and her son was born 1 year later. And her son is my nephew, Justin Vail. He's 29, CPA, in Oregon. And she has a grandson, Braden, who's 1.5. She worked in escrow for 25 years, then sold real estate for 10 years. She loves to dance, travel, play tennis and bridge, and she loves her Lord and her life. Debbie, I can remember you working so hard as an escrow officer. I mean, you were so high stress, you know. You had like, I thought it was like 28 people that you worked with and you were in charge of. Mm-hmm. And I just remember how stressed you were and you had so much going. I don't remember, because time flies, how long has it been since you were diagnosed?
Well, the first time, now I'll be 60 years old in July. Ooh. And the first time I was 33. My son was only a little over two years old, and 14 years later, I was diagnosed again with a recurrence where the cancer came back in the same place, and so I've been clean now, or clear, for 11 years, and just loving life every day.
Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, wonderful success story on that. We have Rhonda with us, Debbie, and you've never met Rhonda. Rhonda's a girlfriend of mine who has just started. But she's got a clean bill as of now, right, Rhonda? And she just had the tubes removed from, you know, I can keep up on it because she Facebooks and she lets everybody know, which I just, it's amazing to me that, well, Debbie, when you went through this, they didn't have a thing called Facebook.
Oh, no.
They didn't, you know, that long ago. Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing because it's just, you know, the lack of knowledge, you know, people just not understanding things, you know. And when you get this news, I mean, I can just picture me. I haven't gotten this news, but I did kind of live through it vicariously through you, Debbie. I just saw what you went through and came and visited you and things. And, you know, you have to make all these decisions and get all this information really quickly because you feel time is ticking, right?
All right, yes.
Right.
You kind of feel alone in a lot of respects because people that are closest to you, even though they care and they support you, they aren't absolutely going through it, and therefore, you know, it's kind of an isolated feeling in a way.
It can be. Mm-hmm. And now with Facebook and everything, Rhonda was saying that, you know, there's quite a few people that she's come in contact with. And sometimes people don't want everybody to know what's going on in their personal life. But it's nice to be able to have that support and friendship and family members that even though they might not understand everything, or even those people that you do that are going through similar things, that we work together or we support each other in our times of when these things are happening. Huh, Rhonda?
Absolutely. It's so true. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to put it on Facebook and put it out there is because I did feel fearful and alone, even though I have the most wonderful family, wonderful husband, such a great support system. But like you said, nobody that you know is really going through this. And I wanted to put it out there so that I could find other people going through it and that I could learn from them. And I've had the most wonderful support from friends, everywhere from close dance friends to people I just know as an acquaintance coming forward and telling me that they had it or you know, their sister or somebody close to them had it. And those are the people that have helped me so much. And I have absolutely no regrets on putting it out there because it's been such a great help to me.
If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. This is the Sue Freeze Show, and I am Sue Freeze. With us today is Rhonda Diamond and Debbie Vail, who's my sister. Rhonda's my friend. And we're talking about breast cancer. We're talking about something that so many women are experiencing. And from another point, we have the family members that are also struggling because what does a family member say? What can they do? I know that I was talking to Rhonda about this, and she was saying that her husband has been such a great support. And I was thinking about the men that might be listening right now, and I was thinking, you know, if you have a woman in your life, whether it's your mother or somebody, just somebody, your wife, there might be a struggle going on as to how to support her and how to love her. And, you know, because there's so many things going on, you know, our a woman's anatomy is part of her, and to not have that affects us. And, you know, it's emotional. And from a husband's point of view, Rhonda, what did you do to help your husband support you in this time?
Well, that's a very good question. I told him what I wanted from him, and that was I wanted him to ask me as often as he thought of it how I was doing, how I was feeling, what I was feeling, just to listen to me. Because to have somebody there to just listen to you talk and talk about your fears, talk about concerns, talk about the pain, if that's the case, that's just the best thing. And, you know, men are always so solution oriented. They want to find an answer, a solution for you when you talk about something. But that's not what I needed. And that's what I told Paul, that I didn't need any solutions from him. I just needed him to listen and to look at me and a lot of massages. Massages are the best. Human touch is so important. In fact, I think that's why one of the great things I should say that we get out of dancing is it's human touch. It's people touching people, and there's just something really healing and nurturing about that.
You know, Rhonda, people ask me sometimes, you know, well, what is it about the dance? What is it about the dance? And I've never actually put that together. But there is a healing to that, mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful thing. Rhonda's had the support that Debbie, listening to Rhonda, I'm feeling like, wow, you didn't have that same type of support because you didn't have a husband at that time, or if you did, he wasn't in the same place.
No, as a matter of fact, no, I didn't. I was by myself, and it was my son, my little 2 to 3 year old son, who was the child that didn't even know how he motivated me and how he pulled me through and how You know, he was the one I was close to and I clung to, and he didn't even know why.
Aww.
But it was him.
Yes, yes. Wow, what an incredible thing. So we're moving along now, okay? Rhonda, you're a lot, you know, it's a lot newer in your process than it is in Debbie's. And I thought having you two both on would be very encouraging to those that are listening, just because of where the stages are in both of your lives. And I admire both of you so much because of your willingness to share, because the desire is to help others that might be going through similar things and to give hope when they feel hopeless. And, you know, our life's experiences mold us, and it changes our focus sometimes. Something like this that just whams us. We have no control over it, but it's still there.
Right.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. It certainly changed my priorities. I just completely made a life change when this happened to me. I got out of the stressful business I was in, and I changed my attitude in a lot of ways, and I think the mind is so strong and so capable of making tremendous changes in our bodies and in our lives and in our health. And attitude means everything. I mean, I praise God every day that I wake up and I don't feel pain, and I know I'm not sick. And gosh, I just, you know, I became so much closer in my faith because of the struggles I was going through. And boy, I know God never left my side.
Right. You had to lean on him and depend on him.
Oh, you bet.
Yes. Debbie, on that note, I will just remember that. You know, you're 7 years older than me, and we haven't been the closest as we could have been, but we are working on that. I would just say that after you went through this and I came and saw you in the hospital, and I didn't experience anything near, you know, what you've experienced, but I experienced through you some of the fears as much as you wanted to share with me at the time. I think you were a lot more isolated than Rhonda has been, and that's just because of Facebook and because of other things.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember, though, calling you one day, and I was heading towards your direction of where you live, and I said, Debbie, where are you? Where do you want to meet for lunch? And usually you'd say, oh, you know, I've got 15 minutes. Let's grab something quick, you know? And this time you said to me, I said, where are you? And you go, I'm at the beach. And I said, oh, and just the way you said it was just so peaceful.
Yes.
And I said, well, okay, are we going to eat at the beach? She goes, yes, I think we'll eat at the beach. And I said, well, what are you doing right now? She goes, I'm watching the waves crashing, and I'm smelling the air, and I'm breathing in, and I'm breathing out. And it's like we get so busy, and I'm talking to myself and hearing myself say this because I'm so busy. But we get so busy that sometimes we don't take time to just live life and to appreciate life. If you're just tuning in right now, it's KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason, Sue Free Show. And I want to ask if there's a caller out there that we've touched in a chord, or if you feel that we can, you know, offer advice or give you some support in any way. There's two ways you can do this. You could call in right now and talk to Rhonda, Debbie, or myself, Sue. The phone number is 888-995-5552. You're listening to The Sue Free Show. We also have a blog. I didn't even know what that was a little while ago, but it's a blog, and it's suefries.com, and freeze is spelt like fries, F-R-I-E-S. So if you wanted to go on there and hear some things or whatnot, you can do that. But I really encourage you as a listener to call in 888-995-5552. That's a lot of fives. And anyway, we're going to keep going now. So let's say, how did you face the fear? You know, how did you face it? You have the support. You have to get educated, don't you? You have to figure out what your options are, don't you?
Absolutely. You have to do a lot of research and a lot of reading. There's so many books out there, but I was fortunate enough to have my friend Leah, who has been through this just a few years ago, recommend an excellent book. And I've gotten several since then as well. So a lot of reading. You want to sort of feel like you have some sort of control, and that is really hard to do because every case is different. There's no two breast cancers alike. And I know this to be true just from my reading and also from my wonderful support group that I go to every week at the Wellness Center locally here. Every single woman in that group, and there's at least a dozen, has a different story. It's a different, slightly different diagnosis. Some have chemo, some don't. Some radiation, some not. Some are on the drugs for the hormones, you know, for 5 years, and some are not. And then as far as surgery, everyone's got something different with that too. So you just have to find what is right for you, and just do a lot of research and talking to people, and a lot of soul searching. And I did a lot of that, and it was hard going through it because there were times when I didn't know what my decision was going to be, and I just wanted to make it already. I wanted to do it and get it over with and get the cancer out of me. And all those feelings are going through your head, you know, but I also knew that I needed to take my time, because the one statement that kept going through my mind that my doctors told me, breast cancer is not an emergency. At least it wasn't for me. I mean, I'm sure every case is different. There may be some more invasive types that are important to deal with quickly, but mine wasn't. And even though psychologically for me, you know, I wanted it out quick, I didn't. I took my time, and I scheduled my surgery after the next dance event I wanted to go to.
I remember that. And you even put it out there, Rhonda. You asked everybody what their opinions were, too, and I gave you mine.
That's right.
Rhonda, I'm going to interrupt just because I want to know what the name of the book was that you felt was the most helpful for you.
The most helpful one for me, because of my particular situation, was the Breast Reconstruction Guidebook. That was my most difficult decision that I had to make, was which type of reconstruction, since there are various types. That just says nothing for the actual cancer, obviously. You know, there's the choice, do you want a mastectomy, single or double? Do you want just a lumpectomy with radiation? There's other books for that, but the one that came to mind when you just asked me, the best one for me was that one, the breast reconstruction.
And you had a double, didn't you?
I did have a double, even though my cancer was only in one breast.
Okay, and Debbie, what did you do?
Well, the first time I was diagnosed, I was only 33, and I did a lumpectomy with radiation. And then 14 years later, when it came back, I did a full mastectomy on one side, with a tram flap, which means they took all the muscle and everything, and then took muscle from my stomach and moved it over my chest and did a reconstruction, and then I did chemotherapy. And I was advised at that time by the doctor, because of the reoccurrence, to do radiation in conjunction with the chemotherapy. But they said if I did that after I'd had radiation before, then my ribs would be so weak that I could cough and my ribs would break and puncture my lung and all that.
Oh, wow.
So, and because I'm so active and athletic, I even elected not to do the radiation the second time, and I've been fine.
So praise God for that.
You really have to do some soul searching and decide, you know, quality of life, too, and make your own decisions. And you don't know if it's right or not until you make them. But I do believe that attitude and you know, your mindset, it makes a whole big difference in the way you heal and the way you stay well.
Absolutely. Our attitude determines our altitude, and it gives us a strength. We're going to take a little break right now, and then we're going to come back on the other side. You're listening to KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. Sue Freeze Show. This is Sue Freeze. Hang on for the other side.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Okay, so I want to let you know that my radio show, if you're just tuning in right now, it's KKLA 99.5 on the intersection of faith and reason. If you're listening and you want to call in and talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. It's 888-995-5552, Sue Free Show. I was told that I should tell you a little bit about what my show is about. My radio show is about passion, purpose, and connection. We come in contact with people that impact our lives both positively and negatively. We have a decision, choice, if you will, on how we are going to respond or believe. Our choices decide our perspective on life and what we make of it. Today we have Rhonda and Debbie. Rhonda's my friend, Debbie's my sis. And they've both had a bout with cancer, and they're talking about their journey, and they're at different stages of that journey. They're going to be successful, and they've fought it, and they want to help other people that might be going through similar things or maybe in the future go through similar things to help them understand that there is hope. And that's why we're on the air right now, is to talk to them about their experiences. So, Rhonda, I'm going to ask you, what were the defining moments when you're a month in or a month out of this situation? So what were the defining moments for you?
Sue, for me, I think it was when I would experience pain and sometimes hopelessness. And I know that sounds strange coming from somebody that has so much support and love around her, and I do. But, you know, sometimes in your quiet moments, you... here I am getting emotional.
That's okay.
Sometimes you... you know, you wonder what life is going to be like with without your breasts that you've had for so many years and that fed your babies. It's, yeah. I don't know, it might sound kind of cheesy, but...
Not at all.
But sometimes it's just hard to imagine. But, you know, you just have to have faith. And I know that what helped me was saying affirmations to myself. Because when you say something to yourself, even if you don't believe it, you start believing it. Things like one of my favorites was, courage is not the absence of fear, it's persisting in the face of it. And I sure was afraid. I sure had a lot of fears, but I kept going and persisting and doing my homework. And this is what you would do. This is what any woman would do. I'm not anything special. You have to keep going. I mean, I had my family, my husband, you know, a great life to look forward to, and that's what kept me going. So I think those moments when I would be able to come out of those moments and take a deep breath were sort of what I would say what defined me.
Right. Something you also said to me, Rhonda, was adversity does not build character, rather it reveals it.
Absolutely.
Right. Debbie, I'm going to ask you the same question. Were there defining moments? I'm sure there was.
Oh, yes. The first time... all I could think about was, okay, I better make arrangements for some guardian for my son.
And you did.
And trying to make sure he was going to be okay. And then I made a decision that, no, I was not going to leave him. I was going to raise that child. He was going to be my responsibility. I wasn't going to let go of that. And I think, again, your mind is so determined that, you know, it can overcome so much.
Right. Yeah. That's so true.
And the same with the second time. I just, you kind of decide that, my goodness, you've allowed stress to monopolize your life and you've got to stop it. So you've got to get out of that. I mean, I ended up going through chemotherapy and working through the whole thing. And then after I got through it, they laid me off. And so I found that I had no job and I was a single mom again. And where am I going to go from here? And you just take a different direction. And, you know, that adage of, you know, when a door closes, another one opens.
That's
and it
true.
Did. And I went into sales and went into a different place, and I love it now. And I'm so grateful that you know, I was forced to do that.
If you're just tuning in, this is KKLA 99.5 on the intersection of faith and reason. This is the Sue Free Show, and I'm Sue Freeze. Rhonda and Debbie, one of you at a time. Let's start with Rhonda. How or are your priorities different than they were before this happened?
Oh, my priorities are definitely different. I think one of the things that helps me the most and
happened to me that I never thought could happen is to be so much more grateful for everything in my life. And I thought I was grateful before because I understood the spirit of gratitude, and I understood how when you have that spirit, you bring more of the good stuff into your life by appreciating what you already have rather than, you know, looking to the outside for something you don't have yet. I thought I got that, and I kind of did, but nothing like I do now. I just appreciate life so much and my health and just being able to move my body and get in the car and drive, and just even the little things like putting on my socks were so difficult when I was going through the surgery and just post-surgery, and you just learn to appreciate things so much more, and life is just so much sweeter when you do.
I was in the hospital once, and I could not wait to take a shower. Taking a shower is just the most amazing thing to me.
That was the best, is driving, so, taking a shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being able to sleep on my side. I just yesterday had my drains removed.
Right.
Debbie, you probably remember what that was like, having the drains in.
Oh, yeah.
And I had them in for 4 straight weeks, and I kept trying to look at them as my friends. They were draining the surgical fluid from the site, helping me heal and not get an infection, and I was trying to look at them in a positive way. They were my friends, but in the last week or so, they were starting to hurt really bad, and I was so happy to have them out yesterday, and I can actually lie on my side now, which
Yay.
Is just such a treat.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, I'm going to ask you that question now. Are your priorities different? You kind of touched on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one thing I always say now, you know, I used to let little things bother me and get disturbed, and now I just say, geez, if it isn't 9/11, it's not important.
Good
point. That's my thing these days, and I find that I don't get flustered and upset over the small things. And, in fact, I don't just get angry anymore. I just say, oh, well, and go on. And I find, too, that if there's crabby people around me, I tend to just, you know, go the other way. I surround myself with people that are happy and you know, want to be fun and just not to say if there's a friend that's got some serious issue, I'm certainly right there too. But I try to, you know, just be around happy-go-lucky people that have very positive attitudes because I do.
Right, you do, Debbie. But I noticed such a switch in you because it does change the life. It does change your life.
Sure.
You know, I had a poster when I was growing up, and the poster said, and I memorized it because I saw it every day, but God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And even when there's something that comes our way that we can't change, we do have an option or a choice on how we're going to deal with it. And so we are called to do that. And you guys, you both you're my heroes, both of you, for what you're going through, what you've been through. What kind of advice or help can you offer those that might be going through this, or somebody that is a friend, family member of somebody that's going through this? Rhonda, we touched on a little bit about your husband and everything, and it was so neat that you were that communicative with that person. And the advice that you gave to that husband, I was thinking, wow, that would be good for any husband, even without cancer, is to listen carefully and to be there. And even the massage thing, I kind of like that too. But it's for all of those husbands out there to listen, because they try to be problem solvers. They go right to solution. You are so right there. So what kind of advice, is there anything else you would offer to those that are struggling through or going through this, fighting this fight?
Yes, I think most women come to this conclusion themselves after they're diagnosed. But if there's anybody just newly diagnosed with breast cancer or any kind of cancer, really, talk to people, and mostly talk to survivors. Find people, and in this day and age of the Internet, it's so much easier to do now. Find people who have been through it. You can talk to your doctor and find people who have the exact same diagnosis as you, people who are considering the same options that you're considering, and talk to them. Doctors are very open to that now. If other patients are willing to let you contact them, they put people together now. It's really great. So that's the thing that helped me the most, was talking to other survivors, talking to medical experts, and people who seem to know a lot about medicine or whatever. is one thing, and it can be helpful, but it's nothing like when you look into the eyes of somebody who's actually survived this and been through it, and they tell you you're going to be okay, somehow you believe it. That's the one way you believe it. And I just wanted to say one other thing about something that I said before about pain. I don't want to scare anybody because, you know, everybody experiences it differently. Some people have no pain, and the main reason that I had some was because I didn't stay ahead of my pain, and that would be the other piece of advice that I would give anybody going through this or having to have a mastectomy is take your pain meds and don't skip one at all, because it's, even though we don't want to become addicted, and you won't, don't worry about that, but you know, you heal better when you are not in pain. When you're in pain, your body tenses, and that slows down your healing. So stay ahead of the pain meds. Even when you think you might need it, take it. Don't wait for the pain to get bad. And that was the mistake I made one night, and I will never do that again. So,
I feel like I was right with you, Rhonda, because of your sharing on Facebook. I mean, I lived everything with you, and it was just so amazing to be able to do that. Listeners, if you're listening, just tuning in, KKLA 99.5 on the intersection of faith and reason. We're still wanting some callers to call in. So if you're driving, I know you're not supposed to call because you have to drive. But if you're listening and you want to talk to us, please call us, 888-995-5552, Sue Free Show. I know that, Rhonda, you sent it out on Facebook that there's a lot of people listening, so I just want to give a shout-out to all those people listening. And, Debbie, you probably did the same thing. So we're just going to say, you know, thank you for joining us and listening today. Debbie, what would you say as far as, you know, the question that I asked? Is there anything you'd want to add to that?
Yeah, I would like to add that, you know, I think everybody with the onset of the internet and everything, that you need to take charge of your own treatment, and you need to really take it upon yourself to do your own research, not only talking to people but reading and checking on the internet, because there are so many solutions to a problem. And everybody's body is different and will react differently to treatment. And the other thing is nutrition. Nutrition is so, so critical. I've gotten to where I really don't drink alcohol. I never smoked. I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. And I'm pretty careful about my diet anyway. And I think that's very important. And they say that, you know, you have to watch your weight because fat, you know, kind of helps with cancer cells. So try to lose the weight, keep your weight down, keep in fit, keep active, exercise, and just love life.
That's very good. You know,
I mention another
sure,
book?
Sure, Rhonda.
I mentioned the Breast Reconstruction Guidebook, but I just remembered another book that I really want to recommend. It's called Why I Wore Red Lipstick to My Mastectomy.
I heard about that one.
It's wonderful. It's by Geraldine Lucas. Her website, can I say her website?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
It's www.whyiwarelipstick.com, and you can get the book there. She was 27 when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she just talks about how wearing red lipstick gave her, it was sort of a symbolic for power or war paint, so to speak. We're all warriors fighting against this disease, and it was her memoirs just about how she got through it, and it was funny and sad, and I was crying and laughing, and it just gave me so much hope to read that book. So I would really recommend that.
Right, I've heard about that book. You're listening to KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. This is the Sue Freeze Show. This is Sue Freeze, and we have a caller. Her name is Kate from Arcadia. Welcome on the radio, Kate.
Thank you, and congratulations on your show.
Thanks.
Hi. Now, my son wants me to go play water balloons with him outside, but I really wanted to call in. And ladies, Rhonda, Debbie, and Sue, I might have missed this, but did you guys talk about early detection? Did it come up in the mammogram? What would you do differently? Now, I personally don't do well with that self-exam. I don't know why, and I know I should do it, but I don't. But I mean,
well,
you
I'd
know,
like
go
to, respond
to
that
the breast
because
test.
I'm very much like you. I just can't stand to do the self-exam thing.
And interestingly enough, when I first I discovered my little tumor the first time, and it was no bigger than the tip of my finger, and I was only 33, and so the doctor said to me, "Oh, the chances are that you have anything serious are so small because you're so young. We want you to watch it for 3 months." Well, I decided I didn't want to do that because I was actually relocating from the desert, Palm Desert, to San Diego. So I said, "No, that doesn't fit into my plans. I want you to take it out right away." So they did, and come to find out, it was malignant. So I made a decision just based on convenience for me, but it turned out to be the right one. So it's kind of interesting how, again, you take charge of your own care, and I knew that I never had anything, you know, that was a hard, like a BB that was in my breast, because I didn't, you know, I didn't have any kind of, you know, bumps or lumps at all that some women have, cysts or anything like that. So I made them take that out right away, and it was a good thing that I did. Mm-hmm. So, and then the mammogram showed the second time when I had a recurrence, it showed on the mammogram. But yes, I strongly advise people to, I am religious about my checkups every year. It used to be every 6 months, now they're every year, and I do them religiously, and I recommend people do that.
Great. And Sue, can I ask one more question real quick?
Sure.
Any family cancer, your mom, for Rhonda, or also Debbie and Sue, was there any in the family line?
Yes, I had. My sister had breast cancer 13 years ago. She's 19 years older than me. And she had a single mastectomy, and she's fine today. We both had the same exact diagnosis, a DCIS in one breast. And my grandmother had it. I've not been tested for the BRCA gene, that's the breast cancer gene, yet, but I'm going to be tested in about 2 weeks, and I'll find out then. And if so, then I'll obviously have my kids tested and so on. But I didn't find it through a self-exam either. I was never very good at that. My breasts are very dense. I have dense breasts, which makes it more difficult to find a lump if there is one. In fact, my signal was that I had bleeding from one nipple. I went to the doctor the very next day. And wouldn't you know it, I never had any more bleeding from that nipple from that day, which was February 8th, all the way through to my mastectomy. So if I had missed that, if I didn't catch the bleeding, it was very little amount of blood, but it was definitely there. I just wonder what would have happened when my next mammogram wasn't due until August.
So wow. Well, really good to pay attention to your body. Your body is an amazing thing, and we got to pay attention.
So true.
I know that my sister has been very, very strong on, I don't know what's happening right now, as far as making sure that I get a mammogram. I have done that regularly. Rhonda, when I hugged you and said, you know, wow, I don't really know what to say other than, you know, hang in there and, you know, support you and be strong. You said to me, Rhonda, at a dance event, it was your dance event, and you said, Sue, what you can do for me the most is to go get a mammogram. And do you know the next day, I think I went and got one.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yep. And I'm glad I did. And well, I did have a little BB in one of mine, and I had it removed, and luckily it was nothing. And I asked the doctor, because he said something like what your doctor said, Debbie, you know, don't worry about it, it's probably nothing. And I just asked him, I said, what would you do if I was your wife?
Yeah.
You know, and he said, I'd probably take it out. And I did. And he said it would be nothing, but I actually had a numb arm for about a year. So he must have cut a nerve. But anyway, I'm glad that's done.
But you talk about family history, and I, on the other hand, with Sue, you know, we've had no cancer history in our family. So again, I attribute mine to all the stress I was under for multitudes of years in my business that caused mine. But yeah, there was no history, nothing. And so yeah, I've been just on my sisters constantly. And by the way, I did get the test to see if I had the gene. Mm-hmm. I just had that done last year. My doctor finally decided to do that, and I do not have it.
Good.
So, you know, the fact that I got it, I think, had to be something that had to do with my lifestyle.
Hmm.
Okay, so next question. What meant the most during the difficult time? What was what meant the most, Rhonda?
For me, it was just the love and support of my family and my friends. My little puppy dog who stayed by my side and protected me. And you know, he knew something was different, and he was different toward me. And I think it was, you know, what Debbie was talking about before about just slowing down, and you know, you're talking about her being at the beach. That really reminds me of just playing with my dog more and just being with him. Those kinds of things just really help get me through. And, of course, you know, networking with friends on Facebook. And I had a lot of movies to watch. And just, you know, having just so much support around me besides just things to do during my recovery. But mostly it was the love of my family and having dancing to look forward to.
Yes, having something to look forward to is always good, too.
So much.
Debbie, what about you?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I think I could answer it for you. It was, you know, raising your son. You know, what meant the most to you during this difficult time
get
through
really
it?
What meant the most outside of my son, of course, was how close it brought me to God.
Yes.
I mean, my faith became so strong.
And I saw that.
It filled my heart. And, Sue, I remember being over at your house once on Thanksgiving. When your husband said to me, Debbie, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ?
And I remember that.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it was pivotal. It was monumental in my life. And God's been close to me ever since. And I talk to him daily.
Yes. And it's wonderful to have that.
I would just like to add that even though my kids are all grown, they're in their 20s. You know, it's so much more urgent for a mom of a, you know, a small child like you, Debbie, to want to be there for your child. It's so much more important. But my kids in their 20s, they need me too. They need me to be alive and healthy. I remember how I felt about my mom when I was in my 20s, and that would have devastated me had anything happened to her. So I had my kids to live for and to motivate me, and I wanted to set a good example for them too, how I dealt with this.
You're listening to KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. This is the Sue Free Show. This is Sue Freeze with two wonderful guests, Rhonda Diamond and Debbie Vail. And we're almost at the conclusion, which, darn it, I'm kind of sad that it's almost done. At this point in your recovery, what is the most valuable thing you have learned from this ordeal? Is there anything we haven't uncovered yet?
Well, the one thing I know is
first
of all, it's
okay.
Given me the ability to be so compassionate to those that have struggles, where I don't think I was quite in touch with that side of me until this happened to me. Mm. But I am able to just put my arms around someone that's having a struggle, to listen to them and to be supportive of them without any effort at all. I mean, it just comes out of me. And I think that's something that I didn't have before having to go through it myself. So there's things like that that just give you so much of a different perspective and an ability to really be, you know, helpful to others, and it's great. And I've had so many people that have come to me as a source and said, well, this is what I'm thinking I want to do, and this is the decision I'm making. And I said, well, consider these things, because a lot of times they don't tell you that. And I'll give them other things to think about before they, so that they're more informed to make that decision. And those kinds of things are invaluable to other people.
That's what Rhonda was saying, too, is
yeah.
that, you know, leaning on those people that have gone through it before, because they're a resource and a source of compassion, support, mm-hmm. and knowledge.
Right, and exactly. that, I think it will help me, too, and looking at it from a selfish point of view, to help other people in the future.
Absolutely. All of the events that happen to us, there's a number of reasons why they happen. Sometimes we go, why, you know? But
yeah.
If we can use those things to help other people, that's what my show's about. And I'm just so happy that I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to be on this radio show and to be able to bring people and help those that need help. And I just know there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I just know that we have more to live for, and we do want to be there for other people. I did definitions for hope, and the definition for hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Faith, confidence or trust in a person or thing, faith in another's ability, belief that is not based on proof. He had faith that the hypothesis would be sustained by fact. And love, listen to this one, love, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or friend, affectionately caring about one person over yourself. So I think that's what we're called to do, is to love one another, and I think that's what we're doing today. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I totally agree, and bless you, Sue, for doing this radio show and having us on and talking and letting us talk about this, because it's such a blessing. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda. You're the blessing. Just the openness and willingness to share your journey. I've found it just be overwhelming to me. I read your things. I was in SOS, Myrtle Beach, a couple weeks ago, and your email came over on my BlackBerry, and I'm sitting there with a group of people that know you and some that don't, and I'm reading your email, and I hope that's okay. You put it out there.
Absolutely.
And I read it, and I'm tearing up, which I always do because you write so wonderfully.
Aww.
Just your emotions come out so strong, and I'm reading this, and the people, they're saying, now who is this again? And oh my gosh, and they're all tearing up, and some of them don't even know you.
Which note was this that you were reading?
Oh, I don't know. One of the
so many.
just your heartfelt things. I don't remember. It was like 2 weeks ago or something. You read, yeah, and you write long. I mean, my BlackBerry, I just kept rolling down, you know. It got to the point where I couldn't read anymore, and so I handed my BlackBerry to the other person and let them read it because I couldn't. I was too choked up.
Aww.
So I find both of you just my heroes. I've got 30 seconds left, so I just want to say thank you to both of you. My guests today are Debbie Vail, my sister, and Rhonda Diamond, my friend. And it's been great having you on, and I appreciate your insight and input. I thank all of you for listening. And listen, we are forgiven, so we need to dare to believe. Thank you for joining us today. I'm just so happy to be
thank
here
you.
And share this time with you.
Thanks,
Rhonda. Thank you, Debbie.
All right, thank
you. Forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.
Brought to you by Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services on 99.5 KKLA, the intersection of faith and reason.